Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Let's go to New York now, and a new investigation showing that the president's two eldest children, Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump Jr., were nearly indicted on felony fraud and larceny charges stemming from real estate deals at a Trump hotel. The story centers around the Trump Soho Hotel, just blocks from our studios here at WNYC in Lower Manhattan. The Trump Soho has a long history of financial and legal troubles, but back in 2007, the Trump family decided to sell hybrid hotel condo units within the Trump Soho. How those units were marketed to potential buyers eventually caught the attention of prosecutors. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office launched a criminal investigation in 2010. The investigation went on for years. A grand jury was impaneled, but criminal charges were never filed. A joint investigation by WNYC, ProPublica, and The New Yorker delved into the business practices that landed Trump children in the sights of prosecutors.
What we learned was that both of Trump's eldest children were under scrutiny for potential fraud and larceny charges, and that the case was quite advanced before it was ultimately closed.
That's Andrea Bernstein, senior editor for politics and policy at WNYC. Andrea, along with WNYC business reporter Ilya Meretz, worked to find out why the case dried up.
The specific question is statements that the younger Trumps made about the percentage sold in the building or the number of units that were selling. One peculiarity of condos in New York City or New York State is there is a consumer protection law that says no sales can close until 15% of the units are in process, are booked to close. What we learned is that the Trumps consistently made statements that were way out of touch with reality. 30-something percent sold, 55% sold, 60% sold. In reality, it was like 15% sold or less. So effectively, the people buying the units could argue that they were being misled, that they were being told that the units were more valuable than they really were.
Do those types of statements potentially constitute fraud?
Those statements are public statements. They were made to reporters. They were made at a press conference. So that's not in dispute, nor is it in dispute that one of the Trump Soho business partners later said in a sworn affidavit that only 15% of units were sold at the time Ivanka Trump was saying that 60% was sold. What happened was is that there was a civil suit that was filed accusing the Trumps and their business associates of a consistent pattern of outright lies. And when that happened, the Manhattan District Attorney caught wind of it and began to investigate. And what we learned in the course of our investigation, and we spoke to 20 people who had some familiarity with the case, including seven who had read what we learned were emails between the younger generation of Trumps in which we're told they indicated that they knew that what they were saying publicly was wrong, but that they were saying it anyway. And those emails became what was the heart of a case that was building in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office against Ivanka Trump and Don Jr.
Well, Andrea, the Manhattan DA, Cy Vance, got interested in this case, and you report that they came close to charging the younger Trumps with fraud that you're describing. The case was eventually dropped, though. What happened?
Enter Mark Kasowitz. Mark Kasowitz is Donald Trump's personal lawyer. He's someone that the president has turned to for over a decade to get him out of scrapes. And he's probably best known to people because he was briefly the head of the defense team on the Russia investigation for the president before he stepped back from that role. So Kasowitz decides to leapfrog over all of the other defense lawyers who had already been working on it and meets directly with Vance. Now, what Kasowitz knew and what Vance knew at that time was that Kasowitz had made a $25,000 contribution to the district attorney, which was a significant contribution prior to requesting the meeting. So Vance returns the contribution. They all meet. Kasowitz restates the defense's arguments that this was puffery, that white-collar cases are hard to prove. And 3 months later, Vance overrules his team and the case is dropped. But a month after the case is closed, Kasowitz gets in touch with Vance's fundraiser and says he wants to hold the fundraising event for Cy Vance. In January of 2013, Kasowitz holds the event, gives $32,000 himself, and over the next year raises another $15,000, in effect doubling his initial contribution.
What does Cy Vance say about all this?
That he made the right call, that he thought that there were problems with the case, and at the end of the day, he didn't think a case could be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. And we asked him directly about the contributions. This is what he said.
Mark Kasowitz had no influence, and his contributions had no influence whatsoever on my decision-making in the case. Contributions by any lawyer have never, in my time as district attorney, influenced my decision-making on the merits.
Ilya Marritz, what have Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump Jr. and the rest of the Trump family said when you asked for comment on this story?
Well, they haven't said much. We didn't hear from them directly. We did hear from the Trump Organization's lawyer, Alan Garten, and his response was actually kind of odd. He didn't say anything about the criminal probe, which is really the heart of our story, but he reiterated comments that he'd made earlier about the civil case, basically saying that those buyers who wanted their deposits back, they were basically just miffed. They'd made a deposit, and then there was an economic recession, and like anybody, they wanted to claw back the money that they had put down. We also did reach out to Mark Kasowitz, and he provided a more lengthy response. And he basically said, I gave to Cy Vance because Cy Vance is an uncommonly gifted public servant. I really believe in him. He uses the office of DA creatively, and I would never, ever try to influence him or anybody else through my political contributions, and suggesting that is just completely out of place. And I just want to add here, there's a 3-month period between the time when Kasowitz and DA Vance meet in Cy Vance's office and the time when Cy Vance announces that they are dropping the criminal probe. We don't know exactly what happened in that period, but we do know that many prosecutors in the office continued to believe in the case, and they particularly believed in the case because they had that email evidence, and the email evidence seemed to show knowledge and intent, exactly the kind of things that you would need as evidence to prove larceny or fraud or any of the charges that they were mulling.
And Andrea Bernstein, is there a way to know in retrospect now how close Ivanka Trump and her brother may have come to being in real trouble?
Well, we do know that at the time Mark Kasowitz came in, the prosecutors were strongly considering setting up a special grand jury, which in the criminal world is viewed as essentially a prelude to indictment. And I should say at the 11th hour, 2 days before this case was dropped, the Trumps offered a settlement in which they said to the district attorney, we won't admit any wrongdoing, but we will agree to tell the truth going forward in our marketing of the Trump Soho, and we will agree to have an outside monitor to come in to make sure that we do so.
Ilya Marritz, Andrea Bernstein with WNYC, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.